This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is Spike Lee, and the Michael K. Show starts now. 98.7 ESPN.
Thank you, Spike, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on a rainy Wednesday, April 6th, 2022. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg. We're apart. We're together for the next 4 hours, though. The other 20, that's your responsibility. Well, I thought the Yankees, Major League Baseball, did a good thing today. They called off tomorrow's opening day early. This didn't force anybody to drive in, pay for parking, sit there, and have hot dogs or whatever the case may be. They did the right thing by their fan base. All the reports, all of the predictions are for 100% rain tomorrow anyway. So opening day is now moved to Friday at 1 o'clock. And people always ask me, why do they always have that off day after the scheduled opening day? That's the reason.
Well, there you go, yeah.
Because you want to be able to move the tickets of the people that buy opening day, because that's a special day, to be able to move it to a ready-made off day. Now, the Nationals don't have that ability because, obviously, this was not an opening day for them. So they have four straight games scheduled, and they have not yet called tomorrow's game, or they just haven't, because where would they put it? You could say, well, then opening day would be Friday. Yes, but the people that bought opening day tickets wouldn't be able to go. So they're just holding out hope that the rain holds up. The forecast isn't great.
Yeah.
For the early afternoon in D.C., Don, but it looks like it might hold up a little bit.
Yeah, from what I understand, because I've been following it, you know, just to see if the game is going to get played, that it's going to get better as the day goes on. What killed the Yankees was the early start. So maybe, you know, 4 o'clock, that maybe by 5, deeper into the game, the weather will get better and they have a better shot, I think, in D.C. than New York had at 1 o'clock. So this was the way to do it. It's the right baseball move, because we talked about it with Aaron. You don't want to have a pitcher start, then stop, then start again. Guys can get hurt. And also from a fan perspective, you don't want to ruin the day having people sit in, you know, 40-degree weather, getting poured on, having games delayed, or maybe people just not showing up. That's not what opening day is supposed to be about.
Now, for the Met fan, Don, I'm rooting that tomorrow's game gets played. Because if opening day ends up being Friday, you're not going to see it on SNY. Most Met fans won't be able to see it,
because
that is that national game. That's the Apple game. That would be awful for the fan base. Imagine a small percentage of your fan base will be able to watch opening day unless they get Apple TV.
Everyone else, I guess, relegated to Ray Row.
I guess that they're giving that game away for free.
Yes.
But I don't even think it's the price. I think it's just the mechanics of it for older people.
Well, we've had this conversation a lot from a financial perspective. I think that's what really ticks people off. But, you know, as far as like older people not being able to figure it out, I don't know what to say. Well, then get some help to figure it out. I mean, I don't want to make these people are invalids. I mean, come on. It's not, I know it's new technology, but it's not impossible. I want to back the old. I want to give them a fighting chance that they could figure it out.
Do you mean old people when you say the old?
You get a free movie.
Right.
All right? But you got to download the app.
Yeah, you didn't seem very good at that.
I still have to download the app onto my computer.
Right, so that flummoxed you, didn't it, big guy?
Well, it only flummoxed me because when you're in the middle of the flight and you don't have Wi-Fi, you're stuck.
Stream them out!
When you're in the middle of life and you're a member of AARP, it's hard to, like, figure out streaming services.
No, but listen, I have to back, because should baseball not do something because they're afraid that people north of 65 might not be able to figure it out?
Not even north of 65. 50s.
I love baseball.
I don't think that's a good reason not to do it. I just like that you back the old.
Well, I'm just trying. I'm backing them in the sense that I keep hearing that. Well, how are older people going to be able to figure this out? What are the, you know, does everybody just completely lose it at 65? Am I now 11 years away from not being able to function?
No, I think you're much.
I mean, I got the Fire Stick. I connected it. I figured it out.
Peter,
was it a pain?
The Fire Stick,
sure, it's
you know?
A pain. And listen, I've already outlined chapter and first. I'm not intelligent.
Yes. No.
So my 54 brain is like the average 75-year-old, and I figured it out. And they will, too. They'll be grumpy about it, Now, when that VCR clock flashed 12, is it because the older people didn't know how to figure it out, or they just didn't want to bother? They didn't want to bother. These are people that fought in wars. These are people that the whole reason we exist as a nation is because of the work, the hard work they put in. I don't know how to how the heck you build the Brooklyn Bridge.
So
how do you build a bill? I don't know. I stare. I don't know how they do it. How do they do it? They have scuba people that go underwater and lay cement in the water. I don't know. How did they build a Lincoln Tunnel? I have no idea. Did they get rid of all the water in the Hudson River, build it, and then put the water back? I don't know.
Is that what you really think?
I have no idea. I'm just saying I don't know. These are the people that did it. So that I'm sure they can figure this out.
So, Peter, let me see if you can interpret this with me. He's saying that a member of the greatest generation, a 99-year-old man who stormed the beaches of Normandy, going to get on his hands and knees trying to find the HDMI hole to plug his fire stick. Yeah, I could see that happening.
Well, now we've
Don, Michael, that's what you took. What I took was there's a time in Don's life when he thought that the way the Lincoln Tunnel was built was that they emptied the Hudson.
There was
a time. That was the part that I took.
There was a time. And again, do you know how they did it?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
They just dug a hole in the bottom of the river. They didn't even encounter water. It's deep, man.
Well, how do you go down there, though?
You know what? They've got machines that can go down there.
I'm just saying, but yeah, they figured it out. Well, however they did it, they figured it out.
But they probably took years to figure it out. You gotta get that fire stick working.
No, again, it's not that hard. And these people have children. They can help them out and do it. Again, this is no reason not to do it. Like, it's amazing. It's the same argument Bruce from Flushing made. Oh, my God, the auxiliary scoreboard's not a Yankee State. The things that you worry about for the one game that you're getting it for free, you call somebody up, can you load up the Apple TV? At some point, you had to learn how to do everything, and they figured it out.
See, but some of these old people, Don, they don't have family left over. Give me music, Anthony. They sit home alone. They get their food delivered. They don't have family. They don't have friends. Their friend is Gary, Keith, and Ron. Those are their friends. And now their friends are being taken away from them on Friday. Is that fair? Even if it's free, do you think these old people who are getting Meals on Wheels are going to be able to do the fire stick? I don't think it's that easy, Don. It's not that easy.
Well, I'm giving
Don't
them a lot more credit than you're giving.
54-year-old.
These are people that adopted the remote. They figured the remote out. Changed the batteries to the remote. Went to HD TV.
Your dad's remote was, hey, Don, get up and change the channel, right?
That for a long time it was. And I remember the day we got our first remote. It was like a holiday. I'm telling you, it was.
Peter, they all sat around the fireplace, talked about how they emptied the East River, the Hudson River to build tunnels.
They talked about how it's
different time on the West Coast. They didn't quite figure that out. Must have been fascinating times in the LeGrand.
I'm just saying, Peter, because Michael wants to make fun of me.
It's known as remote day. And it's a special day in the LeGrand household.
You're 12 years old and on a test. How did they make the Lincoln Tunnel? A, siphon the Hudson River. B, dig under the river. 3, just wished it to happen.
So you went from B to 3.
So
there's
you would,
your first mistake. You can't go from B to 3. You have to go from B to C.
I was having some fun. You got some nerve.
So am I.
So you don't think that you would hesitate for a second? Well, maybe they did build like a dam and kind of siphon the river. I don't know.
Where did they put the water?
Well, here's the thing. When I go into the Lincoln Tunnel, I don't feel like I'm going down that far where I'd have confidence I wouldn't hit water. You know, at some point, you got to figure out how deep the water is. Then you've got to dig pretty significantly under it to be able to go under the water. Peter, you know what I'm saying? This is like 1933, okay?
I hear you.
This is when they like guess whether they were still looking in the Farmer's Almanac to figure out what the weather was going to be like.
Susan Ward is very angry with us on Twitter. She said, oh, my God, are you guys still denigrating those of us over 65?
See?
I'm 70, and I can download any app I want.
Of course.
I understand
I've got your
text.
Back. I've got your back.
Computer programs when you guys were still drooling in your cribs.
I back the old.
But then there's Jim Carroll who writes, my TV cannot get the app.
I want to back the old. Well, again, when we're talking about people, all right, and again, I don't want to single anybody out. People are on fixed incomes and all that, but I don't know what to tell you, all right? if your TV's still in a cabinet. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, at some point, you have to realize that technology has changed. And the world can't just stop for the few that still have the like the television on top of the broken television.
Now,
I mean,
Jeremy,
you have to have a television set. Seriously, you have to have a television set that's probably more than 15 years old to not have the technology to plug in the Fire Stick.
Where is this? I lost it now.
Oh, don't lose it.
Jeremy tweets, Brooklyn Bridge was built in the late 1860s. I doubt those people are looking to watch opening day 2022.
Based on our callers, I think he's wrong.
No, but I just, don't you look, I'll talk to Peter because he's reasonable.
Yeah, I'm here.
Don't you look at things and go, I don't know how they did that. How the heck did they do that?
Every time I sit on a plane, I think that.
Yeah.
I don't understand how that thing flies, a piece of metal hurtling through the sky. I have no idea. So I've never liked flying.
So at one point, the person, you know, the Wright brothers eventually got to a point where technology moved, right? And I'm sure they were able to adjust. They flew. So I trust that these are people that one time figured it out. They'll figure it out again. But Major League Baseball can't grind to a halt. Again, the finances of it, I think it's ridiculous. I got to pay for three different apps. But I can't sit here and cry for you and say baseball made a mistake because older people can't figure out how to download it.
Did they stop the cell phone? I'm not saying they made a mistake.
I don't know if we can have smartphones, Peter, because all those older people with flip phones aren't going to know what to do. Did AT&T march on?
They did.
Of course.
They did. And guess what? The old, who you back, they're now on cell phones. They're streaming. They have I bet we have old people listening right now. They have their Kindle. They're downloading books.
Hey, I'm going to tell you something. And I mean no disrespect to her. I love her. She's my mom. But I cannot feel bad for somebody not being able to download something. My mom texts me. I didn't think it was ever possible. She figured it out. If my mom can figure out how to text me. Now, we haven't gotten to the pictures yet. We haven't reached that stage. Anything is possible. She can't send the pic? Not yet.
I'd love to see a pic, the bath fitter, bathroom and there was, in action.
There was also a very awkward only for Don text that was sent on a thread. There are sometimes stumbles.
Right.
But the fact is it's happening.
Well, I've got some news I didn't even tell you guys during the what became a very awkward pregame Zoom. I have a new nickname, and I've always run with Kaster, but I've got a new nickname now. You guys, if I gave you a million guesses, would never ever guess. And here's how it broke down. So there was a media Zoom for K-Rodcast today.
Oh, there was.
Me, Alex, and about 25 media members or whatever, asking whatever questions they want. And somebody asked Alex about me, and he goes, the closest comparison that I could have to Michael is I look at him like Pedro Martinez. So now in ESPN, my nickname is Pedro. Out of the blue. I never knew it was coming.
Where was he? What was he getting at?
He said, Pedro Martinez, when he was pitching to me, always seemed to know what I was thinking, and he gave me something that I wasn't expecting because he knew what I was expecting. He said, I feel that when Michael's talking to me, he knows what I'm thinking, and I think that's going to go a long way toward making this broadcast great.
So
it's Pedro from now on. Vote for Pedro.
So first of all, Peter, it started out as he's the Vin Scully.
Yeah, so they're calling me Pedro Scully now.
And now he's throwing out Pedro Martinez, one of the greatest pitchers of all time. Man, A-Rod loves you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Vin Scully and Pedro.
I'm more interested in the fact that they had a media call to interview the media about doing media. Am I gathering that right?
That's pretty much, yeah.
But that makes sense.
It does. It's just very.
It is. But these are superstars, man. Michael K has reached a level. There's never been a bigger gap.
Between.
When I first started. Doing updates on Michael's show, and then when I thought I was the host, and Michael thought I was just the update guy.
And then when you read books.
Right, well, that's a whole other story. But I'm saying when we first started together, and you thought I was just the update guy, and I actually thought I was co-hosting, and Michael was just ignoring me, there was a gap. And now with everything that I've been able to accomplish, but now Michael's reached a level where the gap is even bigger now than it was then.
Oh, I mean,
there are media conference calls involving Michael.
Can you believe that, Michael?
Yeah.
He is a star.
I actually did. I did sit there and go, well, what's happening? The world is spinning off its axis. John Aykroyd just tweeted out, I'm 71 years old, and I can make my Fire Stick stand up and dance.
That's right.
No problem watching Mets and Yankees on Apple TV and Amazon. Good for you, John.
Yeah, see?
And by the way, incredible actor in Blues Brothers and Coneheads.
That's his brother, Dan. This is John, the lesser-known brother.
Is that true?
Yeah.
They're not actually brothers, are they?
No.
You don't know that. Did he tweet you, I am not Dan Aykroyd's brother?
No. Did not. We got a big basketball game tonight. And you might say when the schedule came out, wow, Nets against the Knicks, that's going to be for playoff seeding. Well, it is for the Nets in the play-in. The Knicks are out of it. It's at the Garden. Nets won last night. I watched a lot of that game. And Kyrie went off. Durant didn't have a great game. But they turned the ball over so much. They were so sloppy. I just don't know how far they're going to go. I mean, Vegas still believes that they've got a really good chance to be that team that could go all the way. But yesterday, the Lakers got eliminated. They're out. Our good buddy Jay Williams is going to join us at 3:30. He said it's the biggest disappointment in sports history. So where does that put the Nets if they get knocked out in the play-in round?
But I'm still – when you throw out disappointment to me, it's not like the Lakers didn't have excuses. I mean, you lose AD for a long period of time. That's pretty significant. LeBron James is 36 years old.
I agree with you. It's a disappointment if the team is presently constructed. Yeah. They just completely fell on their face. AD's out. LeBron's had a great season. And even with the Nets, Kyrie didn't play most of the home games. And KD was out for 2.5 months. How could you say it's a disappointment? They're a victim of circumstance.
Of now, if the Nets had a happy Harden, got Kyrie that can play in every game in KD.
You've had that, right, Peter?
Sure. Had one earlier. Sometimes I wake up.
Don's won Drop porn. Madness on this open. I don't know if you realize. He's won next year's Drop Madness.
He's rolling. He's rolling so far.
I still stand by it, though. It's still an accurate statement that I made. If you had Harden, you had KD, and you had Kyrie for every game, and they're sitting there as the 8 seed trying to avoid dropping to a 9 or 10, yeah, colossal, one of the great disappointments in the history of the sport. But there are reasons. They didn't have KD for half the season. Harden orchestrated his way out. The guy that you traded for isn't available. And the Lakers, they you don't think AD's important. Westbrook completely is garbage. He's giving you nothing. And LeBron James is going to be 37 years old. I mean, you're disappointed, but it's not like there aren't reasons.
I would agree. I mean, you know, when you look at the beginning of the season, a lot of people thought it was going to be the Lakers against the Nets in the finals. And in all likelihood, well, we know the Lakers won't be there. It's going to be a very tough road for the Nets to get there. But, you know, strange things happen. So the Nets beat the Rockets yesterday, right? And the other three teams in the play, and they all lost. So just like that, in one fell swoop, they're up to the 8th spot. So are they up to the 8th or the 7th?
I think they're the 8th.
All right, so if they can move them to the 7th, then they host a game in Brooklyn. There's no negative to that anymore because –
no.
Kyrie could play in Brooklyn. So, I mean, so yesterday it seemed so dire that they have to win two games to get into the real playoffs. But now all you have to do is win one.
Right.
And if you lose that one, then you have to win another one.
But this was the game everybody expected them to get. Houston's one of the worst teams in the league.
Right.
Now the Knicks are playing much better, and the Knicks are going to be way motivated. And then what are the last two for the Nets? I think they have the Cavs?
Yep. Cavs Friday. I forget what the last one is. Sunday.
I want to.
Pacers.
Pacers. Yeah, so Cavs and Pacers.
So we felt like they were going to go 3-1, and now you don't have to worry about Atlanta going 4-0 because they lost. So I get it's fancy, it's fun. Nets, Lakers, I can't believe they're here. Really? Are you really going to say you can't believe it when you sit? And even if you wanted to throw that out there, I think the Lakers are a bigger disappointment than the Nets.
Oh, I agree.
Because look, the fact that Westbrook played poorly, hey, that's on them. They could have had better players. They didn't have to get Westbrook.
I mean,
it wasn't like Westbrook was hurt.
The fact that AD has been injured, that's still on them to me. It's all part of the disappointment.
Well, I mean, Andrew asked me earlier, does this change your opinion of LeBron? No, because I've always known that great players are terrible GMs. He's the one who engineered the whole Westbrook thing. He doesn't fit. So you could say AD's out. I get it. AD was out, and that's a big blow. But they had Westbrook, and Westbrook and LeBron did not mesh. And that's on LeBron. He forced them to make that deal. You know how much good young talent they traded? Because LeBron wanted to engineer what he wanted to engineer. Great players are usually bad GMs. Great players don't look at the things that really make a team win or not. They just look at highlight. And what Russell Westbrook has been a career-long highlight maker. He's not a great player in that situation with that team.
And I wish these players, when it happened, admit that, you know what, maybe the general manager's job is a lot harder than you think.
Oh, you've seen it for years, Don. They, you know, moves that players want to make, they don't know. Most of them don't know.
And they're allowed to tamper.
Right.
So they got the benefit of tampering and still get it wrong. But I still think they're the bigger disappointment.
Well, I'd say it's close. Remember, the Nets have the highest payroll that has ever been had in the NBA. And they're going to sneak in a play-in, again, with extenuating circumstances. But if they get everybody back, they're not going to get Simmons back. But, you know, Curry didn't play again. I mean, these are tough losses for them. Joe Harris has been out essentially all year. But they do have enough to be playing better than they do. And yesterday you could look at the game and go, well, they won handily. And they did. But the turnovers, the sloppiness, it was awful. They got to play better than that. Now, maybe the Rockets make you do that with their style of play. But, goodness, you got to be cleaner with the basketball. The Nets were really terrible with the basketball
yesterday.
No, they
have not. You can't say that they've played well at all since the mandate was lifted. They've won games, but I don't – can you honestly say that they've looked impressive at all in the last 2 weeks?
No.
And I'm
sorry. I mean,
they're
having impressive individual performances.
Oh,
like
yeah. Well,
Kevin having 55, and yesterday Kyrie having the day he had. But as a team, hey, they don't float my boat.
No, but again, it's not on Kyrie, and it's not on KD because they've played well. But I'm just saying that it takes the rest of a team. They haven't been able to replace Curry. That's been an unbelievable loss for them.
Not good. Not good. So, Peter, before we wrap up this segment, so what do you think comes out of this? I support the old.
I want to back the old.
Or everybody should have a happy Harden. What do you think is the thing that's going to live on?
You know.
There's so
many. Why don't we play the Harden? No, play. I talked over that. Play them all, and we'll see.
Go ahead.
If the Nets had a happy Harden.
Okay.
I'm not intelligent.
Yes.
No.
Peter's yes.
How did they make the Lincoln Tunnel? A, siphon the Hudson River. B, dig under the river. 3, just wished it to happen. I want to back the old.
It's just one drop madness 2023.
Well, I got to bounce back. What do you think was going to happen?
It's a big run.
We don't take the Final Four. We got to regroup. This is almost a rebuilding year for me. 5 straight wins in a row. I go to the Final Four. You know what? That's disappointing.
But a rebuilding year for most teams, they don't come out of the gate and win 15 in a row like you just did.
You're hot. You're coming out hot.
Well, I just had to tweak a few things. That's all.
Maybe you also have a happy Harden. Anyway, we're going to take a brief time out. I'm going to talk to the great Jay Williams in just a moment. He's one of the first guests ever to be a guest twice in 1 week.
His phone's still warm from the last conversation.
And he was great in that last one. He gave us some
hot topics.
Yeah. So we'll talk to Jay. You can hear him every day, Monday through Friday, from 8 to 10 on KJM, right here on 98.7. Anyway, big show, lots to do, more drops by Don. It's Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, Pedro, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Michael Kay Show.
For the Met fan, Don, I'm rooting that tomorrow's game gets played. Because if opening day ends up being Friday, you're not going to see it on SNY. That's the Apple game.
As far as older people not being able to figure it out, I don't know what to say. I know it's new technology, but it's not impossible. These are people that fought in wars. These are people that the whole reason we exist as a nation is because of the hard work they put in. How the heck you build the Brooklyn Bridge? How do they do it? They have scuba people that go underwater? How did they build the Lincoln Tunnel? I have no idea. How did they make the Lincoln Tunnel? A, siphon the Hudson River. B, dig under the river. 3, just wished it to happen.
So you went from B to 3. So there's your first mistake.
The Michael Kay Show.
I'm not intelligent.
Yes. No.
On 98.7 ESPN.
My favorite is just wished it to happen. Like they stood on the shores of the Hudson River and said, wow, I wish there was a tunnel to go to Jersey. And it just happened.
It just happened.
That's as good a guess as any, right?
I'm just telling you, I still don't know.
Wow.
Because you're right, they dug, but that's a. Do you feel like when you go through the tunnel that you've gone that deep, that you've gone that steep of a hill?
That's why they did a great job. I get worried when they're big, thick, you know, wet chunks of concrete that drop on the hood, and then I'm thinking, well, it's not that safe. But
I would think the first people that drove through that were very nervous.
By the way, it's game time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. We've got one game locally. We've got Brooklyn at the Knicks. That's a 7:30 start, 7 o'clock pregame show here on 98.7 ESPN, 7:30 tip. And you could obviously watch it on YES, which is our simulcast partner as well.
On TV.
And the Knicks, really, this is their Super Bowl.
Bing bong! Really
their crosstown rivals by beating them. And this is the first time that Kyrie and Kevin are playing together at Madison Square Garden as Nets. First time.
That's crazy, right?
It is amazing. That's game time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. During the big games this season, enjoy a Tullamore Dew, the original triple blended, triple distilled, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tully time. Please enjoy responsibly. All right. So I mentioned earlier that Alex Rodriguez and I were on a Zoom call with various members of the media from around the country talking about the K-Rod cast, which will debut this Sunday, Yankees
on TV.
Red Sox at 7 o'clock on ESPN2. We're lining up some very good guests, but it's always going to be about the game. So one of the writers, I forget who it was, Alex kept talking about how we've been friends for like 20 years. And one of the writers said, well, you say you've been friends, but there was a period of time that Michael was really critical of you during the Biogenesis situation, and didn't even talk to you for a while.
Uh-oh.
So they thought, they'd get Alex there, right? And this is his answer, guys. Michael and I have been great friends for over 2.5 decades, but I don't blame Michael for being critical. I blame me. I was the jackass who got in trouble. Michael was doing his job, and that's why he's good at his job. That's what I think will make this show really good, because you'll get forthrightness from him and me.
He is so savvy.
I got to tell you, that's a pretty good answer.
It's a good answer, right, Peter? It can't be a better answer than that.
One of the best, most direct things I've ever heard from him. That's really good stuff. Not even because it's about you, honestly.
No, just I thought it was a great answer.
The taking ownership.
It was a possible pitfall.
Well, he diffuses any kind of friction that could be created by the question, and then it spins it into a promo.
Right. You're right. And we didn't know what questions were coming.
No, because you don't play that game, because we don't like to play that game.
No. If I can't answer a question, I shouldn't be on the air. So Anthony DiComo tweeted this out, covers the Mets. For MLB.com, he said, Eduardo Escobar, one of the four free agents the Mets signed, took the entire Mets team plus dozens of staffers out for a meal at Fogo de Chão. That's how you pronounce that, right?
That's right, Fogo de Chão.
Last night in D.C. He treated a party of around 70 people. What could that have cost, Peter? Had to be over 10 grand, right? Maybe 20.
70 people at Fogo de Chão, mm-hmm, where you're spending minimum probably 70 to 100 on a person, no drinks.
Right, no drinks, and obviously they're going to drink.
I'd say he dropped 13, 14,000.
Yeah.
Pretty cool move, right?
That's pretty nice.
And he's not the richest Met. I mean, Max Scherzer could have done it. And, he's got that money in his ashtray. I'm not saying Escobar's poor. But it did mean something for him to do that. And I talked to Buck a couple of times, And he said, you're going to love this guy, Escobar. I said, what a leader. And he said, he just has that leadership. This is before I knew this was even going to happen. And that's what leaders do. That's what leaders do. One other thing I wanted to touch on before we get to the phone calls. I've been reading all of Yankees Twitter today. And I'm not blaming anybody, and I'm not denigrating anybody, because, you know, a lot of these people are running blogs and, you know, they want to get hits and stuff like that, and they want to be provocative. And, I mean, they're all going nuts about why haven't the Yankees signed Aaron Judge yet. And, like, they're doing countdowns. I can't understand this organization. Why isn't this done yet? Don't you think, Don, that you wait until it's not done on opening day to then criticize the team? Yeah. Now you're criticizing the team for the timing of it? They have until the first pitch of opening day to do it. And if they don't do it then it's a free-for-all. You say whatever you want, but to criticize them now? I mean, isn't that a little bit maniacal?
You should have to wait. That game, obviously, will be a 105 first pitch.
Right.
The only criticism that I'll allow is after the game.
Right.
Because they might announce something during the game.
When Aaron says, okay, that's it, we're not talking anymore.
Right.
Then you could say, well, what happened here? But to go crazy now. And you know, we were talking about this before the show, too. Which brings us to Diamond Notes on the Michael Kay Show, brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers. If you're going to judge the majority of the fan base just off Yankees Twitter, right?
Mm-hmm.
For some reason or another, I've never seen Yankee fans this upset about a team. They're looking at this team like it's going to be a bad team. And I'm going to tell you, and I hope that you could take me at my word, because I still think that the Blue Jays are really, really good, might win the division. This is a good Yankee team. They're going to win north of 92, 93, 94 games. It's a really good team. But, Don, don't you get the sense they don't like this team?
They don't like this team. They don't like the manager. They don't like the general manager. And I don't think they like Hal. It's odd, because if you didn't know, if you came back from Mars and hadn't been following baseball for the last decade, you would think the Yankees have been...
It must have been a really bad decade.
An awful team that have missed the playoffs every year, losing 100 games two or three times and completely out of it. We had a caller when you were out, Michael, that was like talking about how he doesn't believe this team's good enough to make the playoffs. He's disappointed. He's red hot, third highest payroll in baseball, and they might be the third or fourth best team in the division. Okay, I can understand you being upset at that maybe it's not built to your liking, that there should be more assurances if you've got the third highest payroll in baseball. So why not enjoy the season and see where it goes? If you're going in thinking the team's going to be bad, then why don't you watch the games? And if the team actually is good, why don't you just enjoy it? The only time you should be really disappointed is if you think the team is going to be great and they let you down. If you think the team is going to be bad and they go out there and they win 95 games, then why don't you enjoy the ride? But they won't even do that, because it's only a championship. That's the only thing that they'll allow themselves to enjoy. I'm not talking about everybody, but I'm certainly talking about the people that call us and the people that tweet us on social media.
I hope they lose.
And that's a tough way to exist. Because, hey, the Mets have the second highest payroll. And it has not been a good decade for the Mets. They did go to the World Series and did go to the playoffs in 2016, but they haven't won a championship since 1986. I plan on enjoying this season.
Now, let me ask.
And then I'll worry
this.
About the expectations failing once they do.
So it almost seems like there's a jealousy on the Yankee part that, you know, Steve Cohen did what he's supposed to do, and he went out and spent a lot of money, right? And their payroll's higher than the Yankees. Only the Dodgers are higher than the Mets. But, I mean, let's step back, everybody, all right? And, Don, you can answer this better than me. Don't you think the Yankees are better than the Mets?
I like to see how the new acquisitions gel, but you can make that argument. But what I was going to say is I would think kind of – I think they're kind of even. Like I said, I'd be disappointed if they didn't win the wild card. Maybe the Yankees can expect to win the division with the payroll and what they have, but they're also going up against a team that has been better than them in Tampa. But it's probably about the same, if not maybe leaning more towards the Yankees being better. But Michael, what do Yankee fans want? Assurances?
They always do.
You have the third highest payroll, so we should win the championship. Well, if it was that easy, then why even bother?
Why have the Dodgers won one championship in 32 years, if that's all that matters?
So why not just have Hal Steinbrenner call Rob Manfred and say, I'd like to buy this World Series trophy for $250 million and buy it and put it on display, and there it's yours. I mean, there's nothing that's guaranteed. Now, if you want to tell me that for the third highest payroll, you should have your team should be better, all right, we could talk about that. But as Michael mentioned, the second highest payroll has no assurances. The Dodgers, who have the highest payroll by far, have won one championship since 1988. And by the way, that one championship, I don't want to put an asterisk next to it, but still, it came in a 60-win season.
60-game season.
A 60-game season. So, you know, there will be people, I'm sure people in San Francisco will say, it's not the same as 162, whatever. But the point is that having the highest payroll guarantees you nothing. And take a look at the teams that have won. So I get that you're disappointed they didn't do more. I get that you're disappointed they didn't do what you wanted them to do. But I'm sorry. This is a very good baseball team and a team that's expected to make the playoffs. And then we'll see. But I'm sure you want a guarantee? What fun's that?
Yeah, the thing that's distressing to me, and listen, if you listen to the show, I wanted them to get Carlos Correa. I did. I wanted them to get Carlos Correa. He's a great player. They decided not to go that route because they do have to sign Judge. And I know everybody's going, all the money they made, they could have Correa and Judge. Okay, but that's not the way businesses work. So you got to pick your poison. And they put together a much better defensive team, a team that makes more contact than last year. But the amount of dislike, I think you hit it on the nose, Don. The fan base doesn't like the manager and the GM. And they think that the owner, who has a $252 million payroll, is pinching pennies. That's right. What they think. But so the only way you're going to enjoy this ride is if they're the last team standing. And I get it. There's been a generation of Yankee fans that have been raised that way. But to look at this team and say they're a bad team, I don't think that you're looking at it reasonably. They're not a bad team. They're not a bad. And by the way, there are a lot of sexy pieces on this team. You've got Aaron Judge. You've got Giancarlo Stanton. You've got Gerrit Cole, three of the better players in the game.
Well, can we play it out first?
You got a former MVP at third base. You got a guy that hit 40 home runs in his sleep in left field.
You know, if we get to June and this team's under 500 and Kiner Falefa looks like somebody you can't handle in New York, Donaldson's out with a bad calf, all right? Cole has been shelled. None of the catchers are hitting and they're poor defensively. Then obviously complain. But what are you going to say if this team comes out of the gate and it's 28-10 and has a five-game lead in the division?
Are you going to admit,
Peter, are they going to call and admit, I was wrong?
No.
Is it going to be, well, let's see them win a championship and then they'll lose in game seven of the World Series. See, I told you they were bad.
I think they'd rather err on let's just have it be bad. And if somehow it's not, well, then they'll accept being wrong.
And again, to finish off where I started, you got to relax with the Judge stuff.
Yeah.
If it's not done by the deadline, then you could itch and moan all you want. But to start it now when you're not even at the deadline, it's unreasonable. And the Indians signed Jose Ramirez and we didn't sign Judge. You haven't done anything yet. There's still 2 days to the deadline. So the Indians signed Jose Ramirez. Great. I'm glad they did that. That was a smart move for them to give their fans some hope to keep one of their players. I get it. But until Judge is not signed, and he said, I'm not going to negotiate during the season, then you could kick and scream.
That's when in the post game, if there's nothing announced before the game, and I fully expect something will before the game, in this three-hour extravaganza that you guys are going to have before first pitch, actually 4 hours,
four
right,
hours.
9-1,
yep.
it will be announced. If by first pitch it's not announced, I can understand you being a little curious. And then in the post game, if you hear Aaron Judge say, well, I'm not talking about it till the end of the season, then 1-800-919-3776, we'll come on the air, we'll start talking about it, and you can be legitimately concerned. Until then, stop. And this is not just some player. This is, I believe, the future captain, the face of the franchise, if not all of Major League Baseball. The Yankees aren't just going to have a signing, an extension for him, and have it leaked out by Jeff Passan. This is going to be, they're going to have a dog and pony show about it. And that's why I think opening day, pregame, you're going to have that. There's going to be a press conference. Judge is going to speak. Hal's going to be there. Brian's going to be there. And they're going to make a big deal out of it. I fully expect that to happen. It would have been tomorrow. Now it's going to be Friday. I think that's my prediction.
And my prediction is all of that takes place, like Don saying, that in that same press conference, they probably announced that he's a captain too.
Yes, I agree. I think it will. I think he will. It makes sense because now you've made the commitment to him.
Right.
He clearly is a leader on this team. He's the face of the team. Now, the Yankees don't always have captains, so it's not like they have to name a captain.
But it would be pretty cool.
This, Peter, who's going to be better than him? He loves being a Yankee. He just extended himself 6 years with an option for a seventh is probably what it's going to be, or maybe they'll give him the seven. Who knows?
Well, if he – let's assume he's obviously here for at least 6 years. Who during that time would actually come along and be more worthy?
Nope.
The only player who's at his level talent-wise on the team is Garrett Cole, and it's not going to be him.
No, they're not going to do a pitcher.
It's going to be an everyday player, right?
It's
Judge's. It is Judge's, Don. But I agree 100%.
It's Judge or no one.
Yeah.
Because there have been times there was no, when Mattingly retired after the 95 season, there wasn't a captain until what was that, 03?
Yeah,
that Jeter became captain, 02?
Yeah. I think it was 03.
You know, so that was
very similar timeline to how long it's been since Jeter. We're already, what, 5 years?
Well,
six
Jeter was
years
what?
Now? Yeah,
six years.
Yeah.
It's time.
Yeah, so it makes perfect sense, but it's not like Peter, they'll say no, and then in 2 years, you know, DJ LeMahieu gets it. I mean, no. This I think they're going to make a big deal, and they should.
Now,
this is the face of the franchise.
And another thing, fans seem to think just give players whatever they want. It's not the way it works. So we don't know what the Yankees feel their limitations are. We don't know what Aaron feels is something that he has to have. So you would hope that there's a meeting of the minds. They both want to be married. And you would assume that they'd get it done and they'd be married. But there might be one side that's way off from what the other side wants. So it's not a fait accompli that it happens. And even if it doesn't happen before the deadline, that doesn't mean that it won't happen after the year. Doesn't mean that it's over. Aaron has never said, if they don't sign me before the deadline, I'm going somewhere else. They'll still have a period where they could negotiate. And one other thing, and I'm not calling anybody a fibber or anything like that. You know, you have a deadline. I talked to a prominent agent last week, and he said, yeah, you set deadlines so you get something done. But let's say that they don't come to an agreement by opening day, and then the Yankees come with the contract that Aaron Judge has wanted, call the agent, and on May 1st go, okay, this is what he wants. He's going to say no. It's not like he has to negotiate. The agent comes back and goes, by the way, the Yankees just put $240 for 7 years. Do you want to sign this or not? He's going to say no if that's what he wanted to be at the deadline. Remember, Major League Baseball set a deadline twice that games were going to be canceled.
Right.
There's 162-game seasons now. Deadlines are very, very fluid. It's part of negotiating. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. But please relax, everybody. Take a couple of deep breaths. Just breathe in, breathe out. Why isn't he signed yet? Because there's no need for him to be signed yet. And as Don said, you're looking for maximum visibility when you make a signing of this sort. That's when the entire media world is at Yankee Stadium on Friday. That's kind of when you would do it.
Right. Expect, you know, because what else is going on, right? And the Mets are out of town playing a game at 4 o'clock. So all of New York is going to be paying attention to that Yankee game on Friday, getting prepared for that first pitch. Yankees, Red Sox, not just New York. There's a lot of people outside of New York going to be paying attention to that. That's when you do it. Now, listen, it might get leaked out. Like I said, you know, Jeff Passan, it might get reported earlier in the day, but the announcement isn't going to be something, oh, by the way, Michael's not going to report during the game, oh, by the way, the Yankees have extended Judge. No, they're going to they're going to put on a show. And what better way to put on a show than when everybody's watching? Like you said, every media member in New York, outside of the ones that specifically cover the Mets. So that means every columnist is going to be in Yankee Stadium tomorrow for that game. That's when you do it.
And don't you think, Don, that in the perfect scenario, they announce it. And then when Paul Olden is announcing the starting lineup.
Olden.
And he goes batting second for the Yankees, the Yankees and Aaron Judge have just come to a 7-year. The place would go bananas. It's all about theater. That's George Steinbrenner and do that better than anybody.
Of course.
You're saying it wrong. It's Paul Olden.
Junior Brown just texted, Michael K., totally unfair. You cannot be a proud, accomplished team like the Yankees and play an unorthodox style of baseball with such flagrant lack of success and not expect an upset fan base. Flagrant lack of success.
Yeah, that's
they haven't won a World Series, Junior, since 2009. You can't say flagrant lack of success. Not making the playoffs is flagrant lack of success. How do you say that's flagrant? An unorthodox style of baseball. Oh, you mean the style that everybody in the game plays?
See, that caller all right, is a spoiled brat that's ignorant about the game of baseball. Because if you follow baseball, what the Yankees are doing is not unorthodox. So right there, he doesn't follow the game of baseball. He sits there and watches little Yankee games and has no idea what's going on outside of the Yankee world. And flagrant lack of success? You have not been under 500 since 1992. Now, again, is it what we're used to? Is it the great Yankees of the past, four championships of 5 years? I understand that they failed to accomplish what they wanted to, and it is kind of strange, only two division titles in that span, no World Series appearance, the longest stretch, I think, in the history of the Yankees. So by their standards, it's not what they want. But a flagrant lack of success, oh, my God. What other teams do you follow? Michael, why are the Yankees held to a different standard than everybody else? The Yankees you grew up with, that's over, man. The parity has existed. The revenue sharing, you're seeing small market teams like Kansas City have success. Tampa's been able to have success. I'm not taking anything away from those Yankee teams throughout history, but there was a lot of patsies back then. There was a lot of like teams that had no hope, no shot. You're starting to see small market teams have success. The Royals went to back-to-back World Series, Michael. San Francisco Giants are a big market team, I get it, but it wasn't like they had the highest payroll in baseball, three championships. And then you see, you know, big market teams, you know, what have the Cubs won except for 2016? How many times did they had to basically tank to kind of rebuild? Dodgers won championships since 1988. Mets have been a big market team, or at least not always, but even when the Mets were spending money, Michael, in the early 90s, did they have success?
And I think people of my age, you know, men and women of my age, I think can probably appreciate what we've seen more. You know, I grew up loving the Yankees, Horace Clark and Jerry Kenney and Gene Michael and Ron Bloomberg. You know, those teams were not that great, but you loved them because that was your team. But I don't also blame a man and woman of a certain age, Don, that grew up with the Yankees winning four World Series in 5 years. That's all they know. That's what they've been promised. So those people feel like this is a terrible, terrible stretch of time.
But I would ask that person if he called in, are you a fan of the Yankees or are you a fan of the winning? What if when you grew up, the Yankees were bad? Would you have just been a Met fan or go, you know, root for somebody else? You know, the same reason there's a lot of people out in New York that root for the Lakers and root for the Cowboys is because they didn't want to root for bad teams when they were growing up. They wanted to root for good teams. So the Knicks were bad, they became a Laker fan. The Giants and Jets were bad, they became a Cowboy fan. But in New York, you became a Yankee fan because they won all the time, and nobody accused you of being a fraud because they were in the area where you grew up. But did you love the pinstripes? Did you love Yankee Stadium? Did your dad take you to your first game? All the reasons why people become fans, Peter. Or did they become a fan because, hey, that team's winning all the time. That's the team I want to root for. And now they've got the audacity to not win at the clip they were winning before, and you're aggravated?
See, one thing
for other teams.
There's not any fan out there that could say I'm a front runner, because when I started following the Yankees in 68 and 69, they were awful. I just fell in love with the team and the history and stuff like that. But the team that I started rooting for, that's why 1976 was so amazing. We didn't expect that. When George Steinbrenner bought the team in 73, it was a seismic change from when CBS owned it. They were terrible owners.
Hey, Michael, did you see the team when I started rooting for the Giants in the mid-70s?
Awful.
Rooting for the Mets in the mid-70s?
Now, listen, on the flip side of that coin, though, you do meet people who started rooting for teams when they were good and just are normal fans who hold on to them. They're their team.
Right.
Don't have this built-in sense of, you know, they deserve a championship every few years. I mean, guys, I legitimately am still, I'm still basically good with Maryland not even making the tournament this year because we won in 2002. I'm like, that's pretty good. I was 22.
Let's take a brief time out. We'll take some phone calls. Those are Diamond Notes brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Picker designed the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget at any of their 6 area locations. Michael Kay, Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg, and you. We are right here on Yes and on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Anthony was telling me that Marshawn has the Peacock games. So tell me what they are, Anthony.
Where did it go? I believe it was the
Yankees are June 5th.
Yankees, June 5th against the Tigers.
That's 11:30 a.m. start on a Sunday, right?
Yes, on a Sunday. The Mets are also on the on a Sunday against the Marlins. That was later in June, I believe.
Interesting.
Got to find it. It is not opening. This is sad.
Nah, don't worry about it. But you have the
26th. June 26th against the Marlins in Miami. Right.
So here's the shade I was talking about. So the Dolphins linebacker, Channing Crowder, I don't know if you saw this, Peter.
I did not.
Has just completely obliterated Russell Wilson.
Oh, no.
All right, so he was on the latest episode of the Pivot podcast. Crowder referred to Wilson as both, quote, a square and a goofball, while suggesting that Ciara is only with him for the money.
Ouch.
Quote, if Russell didn't have that bread, Ciara wouldn't be with him. Ciara, she has a good situation. You don't leave future and get with Russell Wilson. It's a type. Everybody has a type, and I love him on the field, but he's a bleeping square. How do you say that about another guy and his wife, man?
That's unfortunate.
Why go that far? All right, so he's a square. But because we all agree he's kind of awkward, but you got to take it that far?
Like, listen, he's probably not wrong, but at the same time.
But you can't say that a woman is with a man because of bread. Ciara has her own bread.
Ciara does have her own bread. It's a very good point by you, Michael. She has bread confirmed. Bread
and you
up
know
storm.
Who came to his defense in a big way? DJ Metcalf, his former teammate. He said,
DK.
Russell Wilson's a great man. DK Metcalf, great man, a great father, and a great husband.
There you go. That's what you want.
That's wrong, man.
That's. Listen, we all know he's a square. Everyone knows that. It's very obvious. But, like, yeah, it's one of those things you just didn't need to say. It's the thing with these podcasts, though. People do a lot of appearances who weren't normally doing that much press.
And they don't think anybody hears it.
And they're comfortable and they're relaxed and they're not thinking about people hearing it. And they're just having a conversation. Trust me, they're not like us. They don't understand that your words have ramifications. Because we've all had experiences, I'm sure all three of us, where we've said something about something. And then you have to face the person like, oh, yeah, I did say that, didn't I? They don't have that, and he will.
And I know that, and I always defended this point like a few years ago. Like some of these people do these podcasts not even realizing that these things can have legs beyond the small audience that podcast may have. I think we've got enough evidence now that nothing happens in a vacuum anymore. You could have a podcast that has like 7 followers, and if you say something outrageous that can make some news, all you have to do is tweet it out, and if you're a big enough name, it's going to get all over the place. But I've told this story, but it was a while ago, Michael. I don't know if it was before Peter came on. I'm not going to mention who it was, but my brother produced over at SiriusXM the morning football show, and there was a guest that said something derogatory about another player. And so my brother, being a good producer, he sent it out. Like, sent it to ESPN, sent it to Fox Sports. Like, he sent it out. And then he got a call from that person saying, you're killing me, man. What'd you do that for? And my brother's like, you said it on the air. It's like, so why did you say it? Like, it's my brother's fault for sending it out? Like, no, this is the world we live in. You say it on the air, then it becomes public domain. It can go out there. And especially, and this was before social media, so now with social media, all you need is one listener to hear it, send it out, now the world knows. So I'm not even going to give him the break of, well, he probably didn't think it was that big of an audience, so he didn't think it'd get anywhere. Oh, tough. It's been going on for years now that you don't say these things in a vacuum.
Baseball just today provided what I think is just tremendous news. I don't know if you guys have seen this. They have named Dairy Queen's Blizzard as the official treat of Major League Baseball. I don't think they could have made a better choice.
The Blizzard's wonderful.
It is unbelievable.
That's so good.
What's your favorite? Mine's a Heath Bar Blizzard.
Oreo.
Snickers.
Interesting.
Although I am a big raw, the cookie dough guy. I like that, too.
Really?
You don't like
cookie
dough?
Try the Heath. No, I don't. Because cookie dough to me seems like it's uncooked.
Well, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, I don't need that.
Doesn't seem like it is. It is.
You don't like cookie dough?
I don't hate it. No, it's not something like, it's not like one of my unreasonable things, but I don't think that's a great taste.
I shouldn't be surprised that you have this terrible take.
Speaking of uncooked, when I was a little kid, I used to sneak into the refrigerator. And this is, all you kids that are listening, don't do this. And I would eat raw bacon. And my parents called me and
bacon.
They almost killed me. Yeah, what are you doing?
Yeah,
you get really,
you
really sick, but when I was a kid, I thought it tasted good.
So I was a kid, didn't know time zones, and I'm a moron. And you're sitting there eating raw bacon.
I got to tell you, it's over. The argument's over.
How's it over?
Don just won. You are a dumber kid than Don.
Yes.
Don didn't know time zones when he was 11. I was 5 years old.
But still, honestly, it shows almost a fundamental like inability to survive that you would stick raw bacon in your mouth.
Really? How's it working out?
Bear my turn away from it.
No, I think this is... This might have what turned on this whole ridiculousness with your taste with food. Now, you do love bacon.
Love it.
So that just showed how much you love it.
I ended up finding out that I loved it when it was cooked. I didn't love it when it was raw, but it was terrible. I could have gotten really sick. But I would only eat the red part. I wouldn't eat the like white part, the fat. So it was very health conscious.
Well, the fat was probably safer.
It's all worrisome, Don.
Yeah, so you really can't get on me, Michael. Continue to do it, but just in the back of your mind, listeners, know that Michael did that. He's throwing out five. We don't know for sure. He could have been 12.
But you didn't even realize time, West Coast time difference when you were 15, you said.
No. See, for a person that's a great wordsmith, you're really bad with numbers. I said this was when the Yankees and Dodgers played in the World Series. So
I'm a wordsmith. I'm not a numbersmith.
No,
never said I was a numbersmith.
So
no numbersmith.
It would have been. It probably would have been the '77 World Series or the playoffs leading up to that. So like watching Dodgers, Phillies.
Still amazingly old to not know time.
Nine. Peter, again, I don't know why I find myself defending myself. At 9 years old and having no relatives outside like New Jersey. Like I didn't have a relative like in Rochester or anything. Like everybody was either in Hawthorne or Passaic. Like those were the two towns where like our family was. So not knowing what was going on outside, why would I know? Like, why would it be relevant to me to know what time it was in California if I didn't know anybody in California?
Well, it's relevant, and then just knowing how the world operates. That's why
at
the
nine?
Embarrassment of what you used to do is why you're running on the ticket of every time should be the same all over the world.
Well, I stand by that, and it was proven on Monday. Right, that 9:30 start is ridiculous, and I'm tying in people I respect too. It's like, oh, old man take, oh, really,
no.
An old man take. There aren't people like what about Dave Rothenberg? The guy's got to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Right,
you think he wanted to stay up until midnight to watch the end of that game? There are people that work for a living, for God's sakes, they want to get a good night's sleep.
That's right.
There are kids that want to get into college basketball. They got to go to school the next day. What was your bedtime when you were like 10 years old, Peter? Like 8, 9 o'clock maybe, the latest?
Peter, don't answer. Well, we'll find out when we get back because we're right up against the clock.
We just don't care about time, so why should we care about the clock?
Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. This is the Michael K. Show.
I've never seen Yankee fans this upset about a team. They're looking at this team like it's going to be a bad team. And I'm going to tell you, because I still think that the Blue Jays are really, really good, might win the division. This is a good Yankee team. They're going to win north of 92, 93, 94 games. It's a really good team. But, Don, don't you get the sense they don't like this team?
They don't like this team. They don't like the manager. They don't like the general manager. And I don't think they like Hal. It's odd, because if you didn't know, if you came back from Mars and hadn't been following baseball for the last decade, you would think the Yankees have been...
It must have been a really bad decade.
Why not enjoy the season and see where it goes? If you're going in thinking the team's going to be bad, then why don't you watch the games? And if the team actually is good, why don't you just enjoy it?
The Michael K. Show.
I'm on the phone, Michael K.
on 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome back to the show. It's been quite a show today. So many things to cover. And just to tie up a loose end, Hinkie Haynes, a big listener to the show, tweeted out...
Big listener.
I did the same thing as a kid. Used to sneak raw bacon until I was caught by my parents and we didn't die. Then he added, and Don thought they drained the Hudson River to make the Lincoln Tunnel.
Well, that was calling you bad. Sure.
That wasn't the case. We still don't know. Nobody's told me how.
Well, obviously, brilliant people that are engineers figured it out.
That's right. And we're not
so
brilliant.
Hacks like us can't.
That's right. So if I told you they found a way to drain the Hudson River, you'd be like, no, they didn't.
They didn't drain the Hudson River. Where would you put the water?
Well, meaning they dammed it.
Well, hey,
they got a bunch of chipmunks to just get a bunch of branches.
Okay.
Just took a long time. That's why we had to wait till the 30s. They came up with the idea in 1850.
Right.
And they finished it in 1933.
Well, it took a long time to train the chipmunks, is what you're saying, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because once the chipmunks were trained, then they just went right at it.
Wow. So we've been talking about the K-Rod cast and the press conference we had on Zoom today. And, you know, some guy who I guess works for school in Illinois, and he has a gif. He goes, "This is going to be a disaster." Well, call and tell me why. Why do you think it's going to be a disaster?
You want to fight each one of these people?
No, I don't want to fight anybody because I go in knowing that most people are going in with the opinion they're not going to like it. Because as I said, I'm not a critical darling, and Alex is certainly not loved by most people. So you're coming in on a kneeling stance, but we'll win people over. I think it's going to be tremendous. It's going to be wonderful. And it debuts, Peter, I don't know if I told you, Sunday at 7 on ESPN2. Yankees Red Sox.
See, that's...
Sunday 7? I think I'm going to tune in.
Well, you sounded shocked, like you had no idea.
No, I was just playing up the promo.
I know. But I don't get that benefit with the AB3, so I didn't want to give you the benefit.
What's AB3?
I didn't attack you on AB3. I mean, I did think it was wrong, but I believed you when you said it was intentional.
Right, because that's like a running joke.
Yeah, AB and 3 is a joke.
So, that, you know, we kill just about the time stuff. You know, we kill Major League Baseball for not being forward-thinking and old-timey. That was a tremendous decision to make the Sunday night games at 7. Tremendous.
I agree. Mike Gaffney said it takes a lot to train chipmunks to do what a beaver is supposed to do.
Well,
beavers make dams, not chipmunks.
I'm sure chipmunks do it too.
No, I don't think they do. They sing.
Well, that was like the two decades. That was 2 decades right there. Figuring that why are we training chipmunks when beavers can do it?
Right.
That took
God,
a lot.
I wish I was at these planning meetings. They must have been great.
I just talk extemporaneously. I don't know. I'm sorry. It's not my conscience to know beavers, chipmunks. I'm just throwing stuff out. Chipmunks are in my head.
So this is like what you did as a kid in high school. You just wet toilet paper and you threw it up against the wall, see if it stuck.
No, I knew it would stick. That might have been what I did in my SATs the first time.
Give me your SAT number. I'm curious. I'm sure it was
The first one was like 970.
That's
rough.
That's really, really
troubling. I told you what happened. I can't tell you on the air what happened, but
You were high as a kite, huh?
No, but I've dropped acid. I've taken meth.
Oh, my God.
After being in an all-boys school for 4 years. Then I had to go, and literally for the first time since eighth grade, I was in a room with other women, and I was distracted.
Really? So you couldn't, like,
no.
You couldn't tame your James Harden for 3 hours for an SAT test? What's wrong with you? Are you an animal?
I don't think, Peter, you might like this idea. I don't think they should tell students who take their SATs that they could take it again. There should be the pressure of not knowing you can take it again.
I'm assuming, though, the second time you took it, you didn't skyrocket in score.
Why is 1180 stick in my head?
Because you're lying to yourself.
Yeah. I don't think I did well. But I graduated college.
And we're all in the same room, as he's going to say.
Well, I'm not. Listen,
wait, Don, how big was your jump from first time around to second time?
I 1180 stuck in my head, but as Michael said, that can't be possible because he's known me too long to think that I could generate that kind of a number.
Maybe they added up all your tests together.
I don't remember, but it was good enough to get into school, and I graduated, and I'm making it work.
I went to Rampo. Look at me.
How about
putting out fires here? Because
we've done this exact segment before. But it's okay. I don't like my number, you know, particularly relative to what I know Michael got.
I didn't get a great number. I got. I think 1260 was my highest one.
Oh, me too.
I don't think I did well.
Yeah, I wasn't proud of my SAT score.
Yeah, 1260. I was not. I really thought 13 was sort of the benchmark for your smart.
Yeah, and I didn't take that test well.
Yeah, I wasn't pleased, especially when Judson got a 1520. The 1260 was a tough one to eat.
Now, and this is going to really.
Now, granted, my friend Rafi got a 940, so that always helped.
So you're sitting with Don looking at women.
My dad. Listen, there was one specific thing that you wouldn't understand. It was going on my mind.
Right.
During that during that test. But what happened, my dad bought me a PC Junior and got me the SAT, like to prepare for the SATs. But also with the PC Junior came Dr. J versus Larry Bird.
Mitch.
So I would flip over and be I don't know if you remember this game at all, Peter, but it was just a one-on-one game. Dr. J versus Larry Bird, and then I'd have to flip over to the SATs when I heard my dad coming. I didn't put in the work.
Not poor man. We've got the Knicks.
But I did put in the work where it mattered in my career, and everything worked out fine so far.
Don't follow Don, kids. Do your work in school, and then
no, absolutely. I'm not telling them not to. I graduated. I got it done.
Before we move on, though, because this is very curious to me. So you had never been in another room actually looking at a woman before you sat down and took your SAT?
Not that many.
You went to an all-boys school?
I went to an all-boys school for four years.
You never saw a woman before?
No, I didn't say that. I never saw that many in one place at one time.
So you were thinking you were in the grotto?
Yeah.
That is wild. Don, that is crazy.
It's unbelievable.
You were thrown off at the SATs because it was the first time you'd ever seen a woman.
No, that's not what I said.
That many. Oh, that many women.
Oh, what were there, 10 women in there?
Might have been.
And that just threw you off?
Yes.
Wow.
I was distracted. I'm proud of it.
You should be. You really should.
Well, because my imagination ran a little too wild, but you know what? Creativity.
We have the Nets and the Knicks tonight, Peter. This is the Super Bowl for the Knicks, where they could really hurt the Nets and drop them back into the 9-10 spot in the play-in. But yesterday, the Nets won against the Rockets at Barclays, and the other three teams in the play-in lost. So the Nets went from the bad 9-10 spot into the 8th spot. You want to stay there. Even if you don't host, you want to stay there. Because for those that aren't familiar with the way the play-in works, 7 plays 8. The winner of that is in the playoffs. But the loser is not out. The loser then waits for the winner of 9 and 10. So the team that wins 9 and 10 is not in. It still has to win another game, has to win against the loser of the 7-8 game. So it doesn't take Don sitting in an SAT room to figure out you want to be in the 7-8 game because you just have to win one. And if you lose, you still just have to win one. So you have at least 2 chances to win one, but in the 9-10 game, you've got to win 2. And you don't get that oops moment where you could lose and still be alive. You lose and you're out. So right now it's the Cavs in 7, the Nets in 8. The Cavs have 37 losses. The Nets have 38. The Hawks have 38 losses, but the Nets have the tiebreaker. And then the Hornets have 39. So this is a big game for the Nets. Now you worry, second game of back-to-back. NBA teams seem to melt at that. And this is the first game that Kyrie and KD have played in a net uniform at Madison Square Garden, amazingly enough. Wow. So we'll see how they do. I think it's going to be exciting. Well, very watchable game, I think.
Well, the Hornets have the game in hand. They're the 10 seed. They play at home against Orlando. At home against Orlando, at Chicago, home against Washington. So they would think they'd go 2-1.
You would hope.
What's that?
You would hope.
You would, I don't know. I got to look and see where Chicago is if they're going to need that game, because you got to factor that in too. But if the Nets win tonight, I think they're good. But if you lose, and then what, the last two, you got Cleveland and Indiana, so they should be able to go 2-1. So I think the Nets are okay to stay out of 9-10.
It's imperative, because I don't know if they're good enough to do that. I just don't know if they're good enough. So I always thought they were going to win a championship if everybody was healthy. But technically, not the team that I thought was going to win a championship doesn't exist anymore. James Harden's playing for the Sixers. Ben Simmons isn't even playing for the Nets, the guy they got for James Harden. The other guys they got, Seth Curry, he seems like he sits out every other game because of a bad ankle. So there's a lot of moving pieces there. They've never had any continuity. And if you watched that game yesterday against the Rockets, goodness, they sloppy, so sloppy, gave up so many points on turnovers. You got to play better than that against great teams.
But let's face it, I was putting a lot of stock in Simmons giving you something. And you're not going to have Simmons for the play-in.
Which, by the way, you're not going to have him, period. You're not going to have him.
But we're talking about finishing 7-8 or whatever, Peter. If you lose that game and then you have to play the next one, you're still playing extra games. And the NBA doesn't really have a lot of upsets to begin with, but I don't know if anybody's ever going to come out of the play-in and make a serious run. It's a lot. They've got to work so hard just to get into the play-in, work hard while those other teams are resting their bodies and getting prepared for the playoffs, and then have to navigate through 4 rounds to win a championship. Everybody thought the Lakers would be able to do it. They were the favorites against the Suns and didn't win. And don't get caught up in the odds either, because Vegas doesn't want to get stuck, because it's possible that the Nets could win because they got 2 of the best players in the league. So if they really reduce the odds, they can get hammered if the Nets ever made a run. So I think they're kind of keeping the odds decent so they don't get destroyed. But really, honestly, can you see them navigating through Philly and Milwaukee, and especially having to play these teams early on?
I could see them navigating through a tough team, Don, for one series. I don't think they could do it for 4. Don't think they can do it for 4.
It's so hard. And how much – now, you could say Kyrie's rested because he didn't play all those games, but that could also come back to haunt you because he didn't play a lot for a while. Again, no Simmons again. And take a look at the team beyond the two, because the big two have played very well. But, there's no Harris. There's no Curry. You're going to need help besides those two guys. Look at the numbers they're putting up. It's still not playing great.
I thought it was a very interesting point that Jay Williams brought up in the 3 o'clock hour. Maybe Nash isn't a good coach because he's young. He was a great player, but that doesn't automatically transfer into you being a good coach. And I think that KD and Kyrie chose the guy that they wanted to be the coach. And you can't tell me that Kenny Atkinson's not a better X's and O's coach than Steve Nash.
We have no reason at this point to believe. Let's just be fair. Okay? And I love this man as a player. Mm-hmm. We have no reason to believe Steve Nash is a good basketball coach. Given us zero reason.
And there was no reason before he got the job,
No, there wasn't. It's almost based like completely on reputation and likability, it seems.
And talent.
Like.
And talent as a player, but doesn't translate into being a good coach.
And being an amazing team player. I mean, he was a fantastic – he was back-to-back MVP player who had a perennially great team in Phoenix. Like, I get it. I totally, totally get it. But at the same time, it seems like he was just there to be like a player's coach who kind of like is nice to everyone and keeps things organized. Yeah. That's not what this team needed. This team needed a real motivating coach who could dig in and push people.
But here's the thing. They probably – like Durant and Kyrie, who wanted Nash, probably didn't even care what kind of X's and O's guy he was.
Didn't
they
Kyrie
figured,
come out and say, we coach the team ourselves?
Right, because
he said
they
it.
Because they're thinking we're going to be so good, there's not going to be any reason we're going to have to draw up plays in it because we're going to be so good. And now you find yourself in the play-in, and you're shorthanded, and now you need some coaching to get through these teams, and you don't have it. They never dreamed in a million years they'd be in this situation.
Now, in fairness to Steve Nash, we don't know if he can coach that great. He's never had a full team. This team is it's a circus of problems.
Listen, he might be able to coach, Michael, but he's right. A neophyte. I don't care what he did as a player. There have been plenty of players that were managers or coaches on the field that didn't end up being great managers or coaches once they got the job. You know, he wasn't going through the D-League. He didn't go to college. I mean, he didn't go there and coach and work his way up to get this job. He was presented this job because he got along with Kyrie and KD, and he was going to let them do what they wanted to do. He might end up being a brilliant coach, but he doesn't have the experience. And now he's been handed this team that needs coaching at this particular point, plus having to handle the egos and everything else that goes with it. That's a lot for anybody you have to deal with, never mind a guy that's got zero experience at it.
And Jay said something interesting. He said he's spoken to people in the NBA that don't like the rotations. There's no adjustments during the game. Now, we're neophytes or laymen, so to speak. I'm not sure I'm looking at it the same plane as they are, but people are telling Jay Williams they don't think he's doing a great job coaching.
Well, coaching matters, right? Maybe
in
less
the NBA, it really matters.
Yeah, because and these subtle things that we don't even realize. There are things that like when I'm calling, and you would think in hockey, like what kind of like decisions does a coach make? And then there's so many times when I'm calling a game, and Dave will bring something up as a former player that a lot of fans won't notice. Little subtle thing, little line change, some kind of coaching tweak, something that happened in a timeout. That's the difference between winning and losing. That you don't even think of as a fan. It's an afterthought. But because they know so much, they realize that that's a big deal. And you don't. And so that we don't rate the coaching. We always. And the other thing, too, I learned from Greg Buddle is that when fans watch sports, they follow the ball. But it's around the ball where everything's happening. So in football, Peter, right, the quarterback drops back the pass, you watch the ball, receiver catches it. You don't see all the things that are happening around it that make that play go. But right. A player knows where to look at the blocking and the route that was run. They're not looking at the ball. Same thing in basketball. Who has the ball? That's all you're looking at. You're not looking at the rotations and the switches and all the things that go into it until like maybe afterward when they break it down and the analyst has a chance to go over it. That's why you look at film, not what you see on television. So we might not be neophytes, Michael, but we're not looking at it. Because looking at it the way they do, to me, is not entertaining. I don't want to go to a football game and watch the offensive line block. I want to watch the running back. I want to watch the wide receiver catch the ball. But that's not where it's all happening.
Two quick tweets before we go to break and take some phone calls. Just when you think you can't get any more pathetic than what Don did with the SAT, Peter, we get this from Pat Fitzgibbons. He said, I forgot to go to my SATs. True story. It was coolly received by my parents.
Mm.
So, Don, what you did is nothing compared
You're
to Pat.
You're banned.
He just forgot.
I could see how your parents wouldn't dig that.
And then Chef Dave tweeted this about the upcoming K-Rod cast. He said, Michael, I don't know how this K-Rod cast is going to go. But I do know this. If A-Rod is not absolutely engaging, knowledgeable, and dare I say perfect, his haters will be ripping him a new one, and you, my friend, will become collateral damage. Good luck.
Okay.
Well, I think that's going to happen no matter what.
Me being collateral damage?
No, A-Rod getting hate. Like, the people who hate A-Rod are going to hate on him. I do sort of think it's a big deal for A-Rod in the sense, and this has been talked about, I feel like, ad nauseum at this point, but in the sense that it gives people an opportunity to kind of see his real personality come out. And that's where, you know, Marshan wrote about this the other day. I don't pay for the New York Post, so I didn't read it, but the headline told me. Marshan said, it's incumbent on you to make A-Rod come out of his shell. Because what people didn't like about him on Sunday Night Baseball was that, yeah, he knew X's and O's, but he didn't give you personality, and that's what people want here. So that is your job, right?
Yeah, well, it's going to be done. It will be done. It will be fun.
And 1-800- I'm telling you, and I'm just going to say this, Dom, if those out there one more time, it's a reason why you have me as a guest one time, because I guarantee you me and A-Rod would get along famously. But no, do what you want.
We do have, I'm not going to give all the guests right now, but we do have a very, very popular in the news current player that will be on the show on Sunday.
A popular in the news
in the
current
news
player.
Yeah, a guy who was, Yankee fans talked about him a lot. We'll just leave it at that. But it's a superstar.
Oh, wow. That's a good get.
It's a superstar.
That's a nice get.
Yeah.
Because I you didn't tell me. I guessed it in my head.
Okay. Well, I don't know if you're right or not. You could text me and tell me.
I want to text you, hopefully in real time, so that we can get a nice reaction.
Let's see.
It'd be shocking if you got it. Let's see. Yes. Wow. You're something else.
This is what I was thinking. You said current player, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right, too. Wow, we all
Don, we're simpatico.
We really are. All right, let's take a brief time out. We'll take some phone calls, 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Congratulations go out to CeCe Sabathia, who was hired by the commissioner's office today to be an assistant to the commissioner of baseball. And why that's important is he's a current player that is revered. He's close to being a current player who is revered by current players. And the only way that the game grows and does things that it has to do to grow is there has to be some level of trust between the people that run baseball and the people that play baseball. And I think the thing that has stalled that is that there's been a level of mistrust and distrust, and they would never do anything that the commissioner's office asked them to do because it's the commissioner's office that are asking. But if, in fact, CeCe Sabathia could be a liaison, already you see Aaron Judge tweet out, this is a great idea when, you know, it's announced that CeCe is an assistant to the commissioner. That's why this works. You got a guy that all other players love, and now he's working with the man. So he can actually interpret for them and tell them what he thinks is real or not. Because I don't think CeCe's going to take a stance just because the commissioner told him to take a stance. He's going to have to believe it. And if he brings it to the players and can sell it, that's the value in having a guy like CeCe on board. I think it's really important hire by Major League Baseball.
Yeah, that's just hopefully it'll be utilized and not something that just is a cosmetic, like, look, we're concerned about the problem, we're taking care of it. I hope they listen to him. I hope he will have a say. And he's just not a figurehead position.
I don't think he'd take a figurehead position.
No.
He doesn't need it. He doesn't need it. 1-800-919-3776. Let's go to Sean in West Islip. What's up, Sean?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Welcome aboard.
I want to say, first off, I always tell my friends you guys are the best sports talk on the radio.
Now, what do they say?
No doubt
about
it.
Do they agree with you, Sean, or are they listening to something else?
Most of them do, but some of them just don't get it. They just don't get all the range you guys have with Peter, obviously Michael, and then Don's my favorite one.
Wow.
We'll get past that for now.
Sean, you tell them to call in. Tell the guys that don't believe to call in. We'll convince them, but go ahead.
Exactly. Listen, I wanted to talk to Nets a little bit. I thought what Don said earlier about the Vegas odds and how they're sort of covering themselves is spot on. And I've been thinking to myself, I didn't know why that line was so ambiguous for so long about them winning the finals, because it's such low value based on how bad that they've been. I think that, you know, if they get past the play-in, which I think that they will, I will definitely be laying the opposite team. I don't know if it's going to be Miami or whoever, but they don't have the conditioning. They don't have the chemistry. And I think you guys have spoken about it before. I don't think Kyrie has that stamina. I don't think he has it in him. He hasn't played that full season, obviously. And I don't think they're going to be able to get it done. So what do you guys think?
I think you're spot on with everything. I really do. Because Kyrie was playing half the year. All of a sudden, he's going to play all the time now. Now, there are days off between playoff games enough. But yeah. I don't think he's built up the stamina. And they certainly don't have the chemistry. This team has been in and out. Either Kyrie's not playing or people are hurt or Kevin Durant is out. You need chemistry. You got to know where the guy's going to be. You have to feel it. You can't think it. You have to feel it. It's got to be a reaction. And I don't think they're at that point this late in the season. They are not at that point.
And the other thing to factor, and we talked about this a little bit last year too, is that, and I thought about this last night, the Rangers played the Devils, and it was the Rangers' 71st game. That's the first time since the 18-19 season that they got to game 71. Because last year they only played 56 games. The year before, at around the high 60s mark, they paused for 4 months. Same thing with the NBA. You know, last year they played a 72-game schedule. You know, the year before that they had the pause. Like, you start getting this late in the year, too, that it affects the players. It's a little different, especially the younger players or a guy like Kyrie who has been kind of in and out of the lineup. You're kind of getting rarefied air. This will be the first time, guys, in almost 3 years that they will play a full 82-game schedule and go into the postseason. So it's different, and could that wear them down, especially a Nets team that is that went far last year, right? Look what KD had to do last year, trying to single-handedly beat the Bucks, and now might find himself to have to do that for a couple of games in the play-in. Isn't that going to wear that whole team down and KD possibly down if they try to make a run?
It's going to be tough. I mean, KD and Kyrie are going to have to play at the top level every single game. And what they've done is they've alternated good games. I don't think they can beat really good teams that way.
Listen, I Don was saying earlier that he doesn't think a 9 or 10 seed is ever going to win a championship. And I tend to agree. But I will say, if there's one that could somehow do it, it would be this team. They'll literally, like, I mean, for the rest of time.
I agree with that, yeah.
This 10-seed Nets would be the only one that I could think would be capable of winning series like that. But right now, they feel so far away from it. And I get the sense, I know we only know that Ben Simmons is out for the remainder of the regular season in the play-in. But then what do? You start easing him into a lineup in the playoffs?
Yeah, it's unrealistic,
Peter. It's not realistic. He's done. They're not going to use him. So they'd have to do it with this team. And this team, minus the pieces they have, no Joe Harris, Seth Curry appears to be, you know, a back and forth. We don't know what his availability will be. It just doesn't seem plausible.
And one of the things I always heard about the Nets was they had such an unbelievable medical and training staff. I mean, that was one of the things that attracted a lot of players to come to Brooklyn. And supposedly attracted KD, who was rehabbing from the Achilles. And I don't think that the people that work in these departments are miracle workers, but boy, does it really send up a flare that they're always hurt and they are out for a long time. So you can sing the praises of whatever support staff you want. They can't keep their players on the court.
Yeah. But, Michael, we said that about the Mets, too, where you said old people around Major League Baseball said the Mets have the best doctors, and look at how they had injury situations that got fouled up. You're telling me the Yankees don't have the access to the best doctors? Look at all the injuries that they've had. Look at how things got screwed up with Teixeira.
This isn't a doctor thing, because the Mets surgeon is a guy a lot of people go to, all right? Mm-hmm. But the Nets support staff, the people that get people ready, the training staff are supposed to be top of the line. They can't keep these guys on the court.
Yeah, but I just think sometimes injuries, they just happen.
But it's constant, and they don't get them back on the court real fast. So, again, they're not miracle workers, but wow. I mean, one of the selling points for your team is how great your medical staff is, and you can't keep your guys straight. You can't keep them on. Now, remember, I read a tweet earlier from Pat Fitzgibbons, who just completely forgot his SAT. Well, Pat's calling in to explain exactly what happened. Pat, how do you forget your SAT? It's a high schooler's one of its biggest days ever.
Michael, this story is far worse than you even described. My mother, so I'm a Jersey guy as well, just like Don, which is not going to make anyone proud. My mom was my junior English teacher and taught us about the SATs, so I knew that day that it was going to happen. But what happened was there was a lot going on at school, and I forgot. And after the SATs, the girls who were in my class, a couple of girls who were in my class, showed up, and they're like, we were going to call the police. We thought something happened horrible. Where were you for the SATs? And only then did I realize that it was that Saturday, that I forgot the SATs, and that I just blew it off.
Now let me ask you this, Pat, and I'm not advocating for this, but I know how I grew up.
No.
And there was corporal punishment in my house. So
yes.
Did your parents beat the living snot out of you?
No, because there had been a number of episodes along the way that there was some head shaking and screaming and yelling. My dad, though, said, look, if this dummy doesn't want to take his SATs, it's going to save me a lot of money. I don't, you know, if he doesn't want to go to college, what do I care?
Love
my
it.
Mom was, wow. My mom was a little less pleased about it, I'd say. But I ended up taking them. I did all right. I got to college.
What college did you go to?
I went to St. Michael's in Vermont.
All right. Now, the forgetting the SAT, was it a function of too much drinking, or you just let it slip your mind?
No. There was a show. There was a talent show, like a county talent show or something that I was running at the school because I was involved in a lot of stuff. And I wasn't, you know, nominally, you know, you would think not that stupid. But so I was helping run it, and I just forgot that day that I also had to do that.
Wow.
Well, Pat, you admitted that it was, like, colossally dumb. I just can't even imagine doing – like, it was all that we talked about. Like,
that's right.
My
Every
dad had to drive me –
dreaded that day.
Yeah, right, and even though right. I had my license, my dad took me – we did it at Ridgewood High School was where I went, which was a town over from Hawthorne. There was no way to forget. It was the only thing that mattered leading up to that day and all the preparation. It'd be like forgetting.
It would be like forgetting
your wedding.
Well, right. Yeah. No. I mean, there's very little I can say in real defense. But there was a lot going on that day, and it was unfortunate.
Well, Pat, it is unfortunate, and we thank you for calling in and sharing. But when you say there's a lot going on that day
in his system,
the only thing that would trump taking the SAT is if your grandparents or mother and father passed away. That would be a lot going on. The talent show, I don't think, trumps the importance of the SAT.
It did for him.
What is he? I mean, was it America's Got Talent, the first incarnation? What exactly
no, it
is
was,
he?
It was, it
is
was
he
America,
Simon Cowell?
It was America Smokes Bowls. Like, he was, you know, America Drops Acid. He was high, stoned, coked up, whatever it was. That's only way. Because I'll tell you what, with the preparation, with the way my father wanted me to go to college, because, again, nobody in my family had ever graduated college before, it was really important to him. If I, outside of, like, the immediate family, like my brother or my mom, if my grandmother passed away that day, my father said, you're still going. Like, I can't imagine missing that day. I can't imagine forgetting about it.
But you can imagine sitting there and being distracted because there were women there.
I didn't. It wasn't intentional. Last time I shared, by the way, let's just keep it really it's sports clinical. Let's just do it from then on.
You're
really,
smoking bowls, man. You're smoking out of an apple.
Let's tell it off, Peter.
I thought
you
guys
say?
Would appreciate a story like that.
No,
I did.
Appreciate it.
At least
now
Peter.
Now we dissect it.
I appreciate it, though.
I'm not proud of it. I'm just telling you the realities. And again, if I thought that was the last shot, I would have concentrated a little bit more. But I was a little overwhelmed. There was, what can I say? I never dated a Judy.
I just find it hard to believe that at the age of 17, you'd never been in a room with a lot of women in it.
For that length of time?
But you were sitting at a desk with an important document in
front
of you.
No, you're right. It was very
important.
It's
not like you could have made out with them. So it was all imagination, took over.
Well, imagination got me through most of puberty.
Wow. Let's really towel off right here on Yes.
We really need to.
7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.